Welcome to Digital Humans, a podcast where we learn from leading experts about how we can harness technology to evolve our organizations and our lives. This podcast is sponsored by Smart Lab.
Hello and welcome to this episode of the Digital Humans podcast. My name is Jesse Tong, and I'm joined with my co-host, George Seiler.
Hello.
This podcast is about learning from leading experts on how we can harness the best of digital to evolve our organizations and lives. It is about putting people at the center of transformation initiatives and harnessing the incredible opportunities that technology presents.
And today's episode is about exploring how technology fuels creativity and drives innovation in business models and operations. And we're delighted to have an exclusive interview with our guest today, Andrew Whalen, CEO of Blackbook. Hi, Andrew.
Hello. Hey, George. Hey, Jesse. How's it going?
Fantastic. So looking forward to the conversation today. So Andrew brings over 16 years of experience across design, innovation, and strategy roles, including over a decade in C-suite positions, most recently as Chief Operating Officer at Lavoy, a luxury e-mobility venture. Andrew led on strategy and execution using technology to deliver award-winning products and innovative business models. Now, as CEO of Blackbook, he continues to drive growth through his commitment to technology and innovation. Amazing. Andrew, thank you so much. We can't wait to dive into this episode with you.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. I'm really excited.
So Andrew, for our audience to get to know you a little bit more, would you mind telling us a little bit about Blackbook?
So Blackbook is a premier platform that connects creatives with opportunities, and that can mean a lot of things. I'm sure we'll dig into that too, but it's about creative people in all aspects, whether that's their primary job and their career focus, or people who want to expand their creative portfolio to find job opportunities and ways to improve their network and expand their connections. What we found from talking to a lot of creatives and coming from a place of working with dozens and dozens of creatives all the time is that there's a real problem for creative individuals where so many young creatives, aspiring ones starting out, are forced to do unpaid work to get started in their career, to build their portfolios and to build their connections. And at the same time, we also speak to a lot of brands, and we'll go into this, but I've worked for a lot of big companies, big corporates, who are struggling to find diverse creative talent. And Blackbook is here to fix that. We're starting with the UK, but we're going to be expanding ideally rapidly throughout other markets, the UK, EU, US, and hopefully beyond too. So we think there's a real need and gap to fill there, and we'll probably come to it later, but it's not just for, say, visual designers or copywriters or film producers, but there's so many of us who have creative aspects in our lives and want to be able to explore that too. And Blackbook caters to that and provides a unique platform for that.
If I may clarify on that, it sounds extremely interesting, and for sure there's a huge addressable market and so many creatives out there who are being not given a fair access to what the market requires. And there are a lot of platforms out there that do offer the chance to share your requirement and for people to say how they would be a good fit for this. So what is it that Blackbook's doing that's different?
So yeah, we started by looking at the market, and there are, of course, there's platforms that everyone can name out there. There's big ones, there's LinkedIn, there's Upwork for specific things. And nowadays people use things like Instagram and TikTok. But what we found, there's just a real gap there in terms of LinkedIn, for example. I love it, I use it, but it is not the best place to show your creative work. If you make beautiful visual content or if you direct films, sorry, it's not fit for purpose for that. And so we built Blackbook from the ground up as being by creatives, for creatives, to cater to their needs. So that includes things like being able to have diverse multimedia portfolios, and also just the kind of fundamental thing that we see is lacking in a lot of those other platforms is that they don't really foster a sense of community. One of our advantages as a small startup is that we are still at that level where we are building it as a community, and we're driving a lot of engagement and interaction and trying to create events and connections where people can connect offline in the real world and develop those relationships in a way which you just can't get from those big platforms now.
So Andrew, sounds like you're part of this very exciting journey with Blackbook right now. Imagine if I'm the individual working on the non-creative side of the business today, how is business relevant to me?
Yeah. There's some really interesting things about that. I mean, you might be hiring creatives. So on one hand, that's half of our platform. And that's the area we're going to develop next is people who need to find creatives for creative work. But I think a really unintended, delightful insight that we've developed along the way is that when we talk to people about, you know, what does it mean to be a creative? So many of us are not one thing. We are diverse people with diverse interests. And, you know, George, just looking behind you, I see a Gibson guitar there. I've got my Martin behind me. Yeah,
Pride and Joy. It's a vintage custom.
I thought so. And and I hope you don't mind me revealing here, but I did a little LinkedIn stalking on you and says that you also are a music producer and dabble in multiple formats. So George, I don't know. Can I ask you, are you a creative?
Well, I would certainly say yes, but not what you would say kind of in a traditional sense. Where I work at Ludic, there is a lot of creativity. We have a creative agency as part of our offering, and there's also technology and entrepreneurial elements. So I am involved in creative work with our clients to shape the programs and deliver the programs. However, in a kind of personal creative point of view, I've always had an interest in this, and it's gone from, you know, I've done things such as developing bespoke songs to reflect topics and initiatives, working with charities, and have produced films in that space. And have also done concept albums with spoken word and worked with producers, and then evolved my own production skills and have fostered that and morphed into electronica production. And so there's a huge world there, and I would say it's a really big part of my personal identity. And I put a lot of time outside of work into working on these projects and refining them. And I feel like the reason why I say yes am I creative is because I feel that if I don't pursue those things, then my world feels a bit smaller. So it's like oxygen for me to work on this. And I always light up whenever there's an opportunity to talk about creative ideas. And I think it's sometimes creative business ideas, and sometimes it's more about creative projects. But I love the discussion of ideas and turning those into real things. That's something that just really, really drives my own personal passions.
Boom! That's it. That's amazing. That's really, it's so much deeper than I even realized. And you said it better than I even could. That how much it nurtures us and makes us better at our jobs. And, you know, I think that's something that should be celebrated and brought forth. Everyone who feels a creative spark is welcome. And just another name for creativity, I think, is innovation. The two are synonymous to me. They are almost exactly the same thing. It's seeing potential. It's developing an idea. It's bringing something that didn't exist already into the world in one form or another. So if you are an innovator, if you're an entrepreneur, if you are dabbling in projects that are pushing a limit, you are creative and you are welcome. So I think it actually is open to a lot of people.
Well, there's a very interesting point there as well. I guess, Andrew, based on what I have been hearing, it seems like everyone can be creative, right? For example, I'm particularly passionate about interior design. That could be something that if I'm not staying on the current career, that could be something I want to pursue as well. So, yeah, we shouldn't be defined by our job title and what we're doing on it.
I was going to put you on the spot next too, Jesse, but there you go. You've been brave to admit it already. Interior design, it's also a passion of mine too. We should compare notes.
That would be great.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. And Andrew, I'd love to segue this into the discussion around digital humans and perhaps the intersection between technology and creativity, however we choose to define that in this conversation. How do you see that evolving?
I think technology, creativity, art are all inextricably linked. they're not necessarily synonymous, but they always have an impact on each other, like a cyclical beneficial relationship where we can look so many times. I love studying kind of music history and art history, and there's just so many junctures through time where you can see that innovations in technology created opportunities for new types of art and music. You can look back at the Renaissance artists and painters and new technologies developed that allowed them to develop art there. And we've already gone on to music, so I know we're all passionate about that. And, you know, if we look at, I think back to, was it the 1940s, 50s, I believe, where electricity and the electromagnetism experiments allowed there to be electric guitars, such as yours and mine, which spawned, and some could say, and kind of helped develop rock and roll and everything that came after there. And beat machines, drum machines in the 60s, 70s, 80s sparked, had a huge amount to do with the creation of, say, hip hop and later genres of music driven by beat machines and all that, electronica, technica. So there will always be an opportunity for technology and innovation there to allow people to express themselves in new ways. And also, though, likewise, creativity and people going that extra level to express themselves might prompt someone to experiment with the technology and say, how can I, you know, capture that? So they go hand in hand.
We want to get to know a little bit more about you as an individual, as a creator, as a leader. So the question is, what gets you out of the bed in the morning?
I mean, I guess part of it, I'll do the cliche, but my family, trying to make my family proud. And I've got a new baby boy who is, I get excited every day to see him. But then I guess beyond that, I'm really excited about what we're building. But over all stages of my career, it's always been, I guess, about creating and making and working together with impressive teams. I think I've been really lucky to have great teams at a lot of the organizations, both startups and really huge consulting and global design agencies and brands too. So yeah, working together with people, creating new things, bringing new products to life. It's all just about, I guess, making something new and bringing something new into the world that benefits people. I hadn't really thought about that before. That's how it comes out.
I love it. I love this. This is great. And I think it's very much aligned with Ludic's way of working as well, because of within Ludic organization, we really practice dynamic collaboration, cross team collaborations. You know, a lot of organizations that have got silos, right? The bigger the orgs is, and sometimes it could be difficult to navigate. But then I think Georgia and I, we often work on the different initiatives together or separately. So that's why I think that we do feel that there's the initial bonding with you as well as a guest, since we work very similarly.
Yeah, I know that feeling. And I think we can all agree, thing that I didn't even say, but like so deserves to be said, is the collaboration with the team is great. The creation of the new product is great. But actually the most satisfying thing is when you get to see those products or services in the hands of customers or in their pocket on their phone, where they're actually doing something that they couldn't have done before, and seeing that customer hopefully seeing delight, or at least seeing the engagement, you know, once it gets to that kind of digital scale, and having the opportunity to make it better for them constantly is just such a cool opportunity. And such a, I think, a wonderful thing about the digital world that we do live in nowadays is just that the ability to develop and iterate and recreate things in a better and better way every day. That feedback loop is so quick and so tight that we can really make dramatic impact and improve things faster than ever.
You are listening to Digital Humans, sponsored by SmartLab, a leading experience management platform for events, learning, and change. So, Andrew, our special theme of today is embracing the new digital world. So, would you mind sharing your view on how the creative industry is evolving hand in hand with technology?
So, I guess the one thing that I know to be true, maybe it's cliche, maybe not, but is that humans will continue to have needs. There will always be problems to solve. There will always be opportunities and things that goals, jobs to get done. But when it comes to technology, it's kind of as we said, that technology will relentlessly continue to evolve. And the great thing about that is it creates new ways to solve problems and creates new opportunities and new needs at the same time, too. I think we've all known and we've all seen that the influence and the growth and the rapid development of AI, whatever you want to call it, generative AI, all the various different ways to use AI, are rapidly proliferating and creating new opportunities, creating new ways to solve problems every day. But hey, you know, where should that be and how should we use that is not a clear path, and especially as it comes into the creative industry. So this is one where there's plenty of controversy, and I'm happy to embrace that controversy. I have members of my team who believe that creativity is a innately spiritual, human, divine expression, and that no machine can take that away or can interfere with that. And I don't entirely disagree, but I also see that there is, as we kind of talked about, how technologies allow us to express ourselves in new ways, as we've seen with technologies, instrumentation, arts, digital art. So I do personally think that AI will be yet another tool, you know, that will allow people to express themselves in new and different ways. And we thought many years ago, some people would say that drum machines would replace all drummers. Well, I happen to know quite a few drummers. They still have some jobs.
It's actually a good analogy, right? Because I was thinking for a second that, you know, we're distilling all of AI and the myriad ways that it could impact society and business and comparing it to a drum machine. But actually, people still use them. And as you say, drumming is still a craft, right? And there is human expression in it. So I'm sorry to interject. I just think that's a really enjoyable analogy.
Yes, there's so many overlaps there. I guess I will say, though, so getting also diving right into the controversy, though, there are some jobs and some things which AI will have a dramatic impact on and completely change the way some work is done. And it's important to remember it's a tool, and AI is not going to take many people's jobs, but someone who is really skilled at using AI for a particular craft or outcome, probably that person will take your job if you don't learn how to adapt and use it as a new tool to do your job better. I've come upon a quote, which I think is quite interesting. I can't trace it to the original source, so maybe this will be an Easter egg for any of your listeners to try to find out. But it's about the comparison between, is AI more like a tiger or is AI like water? If we harken back to our kind of deep human roots, we're constantly surrounded by threats and new things that challenge us. And we need to figure out, and our instincts are programmed to help us determine what is this? Is this a threat or is this an opportunity? How do I handle it? And there's definitely a tendency, and there's definitely some people who do think of AI as something like a tiger. You know, it's out to get us. It's going to attack us. It's lurking in the bushes and it's going to strike. There's reasons to consider that, and there's reason to be careful. But this original thinker, and I agree with him, think of it as a bit more like water, and that water is something that can be all around us. It can be very powerful if we respect it and if we learn how to harness it and to use it, but it's something we need to be cautious of and be wary of. On either hand, we need to be thoughtful, we need to be considerate, but I agree with the original thinker that AI is more like water, more like a river than it is like a tiger that's hungry to eat us.
That's a great concept to reflect on. And I think it segues really nicely into our final question that we always love to ask each of our guests, because we always get a different perspective on it. So if you'll permit us, Andrew, we would love to hear from you. Essentially, when we're looking ahead 5 years, what do you think it will mean to be a digital human?
Yeah, it's a really interesting one. I've thought about it ever since I first learned about digital humans as a concept and the podcast. And I'll be honest with you, the original term didn't sit so easily with me. And the reason I think that was is that just linguistically, it puts the word digital before the word human. Now, we can unpack the linguistics of that, and different languages think of that in a different way. But I think I've gotten more comfortable with the idea, especially as I reflect in my own life, to realize that, you know, we are humans at the core. That will always continue to be. But digital is a layer of life that can do many things for us. And similar to water, maybe, I guess, in my last example, it can be harnessed for good, and it can be used to help us, you know, experiment and explore and iterate and connect with other people in a way which can be very beneficial if we stay true to who we are as humans and what we really need. So it all comes down to how we use it. So it's our responsibility as people who shape tools and digital businesses and communities to plan for those, anticipate unintended consequences, keep human needs at the core, and ensure that what we're doing really serves those innate needs. And sometimes I will say this too, is that it's important to think that we might think that we're, you know, constantly striving to streamline a process which allows someone to trade stocks much faster. It's really important to think about how do we do that in a way that actually can be good for those humans that we're trying to serve. So yeah, it's never ending and something we all need to solve and I guess just be proud that I'm proud to be in a place where I can take those needs into account and try to create something that is useful every day.
Wow, that's brilliant. Thank you so much. I love the idea of always thinking about serving the greater good, right? So what's the impact and how we can build a better community, build a better world together or as an individual. So, well, thank you so much for joining us, Andrew. I feel like we can easily spend the entire day chatting.
Yeah, thank you so much, Jesse and George, for having me on. It's been a real pleasure. We covered a lot of ground there, a lot of exclusives, a lot of late-breaking news across technology and humanity, and I'm delighted to be a part of it and hope to see you guys on BlackBook and hope to connect with you in future projects at Ludic. And yeah, it's been a pleasure.
Digital Humans is hosted by me, George Seiler.
And me, Jesse Toll.
Produced by Melanie Price and John McGinty. Edited by Danny Cross, with artwork by Alex Matthews and scribed images by Ludic Creatives. This podcast is brought to you by SmartLab.